Welcome to Mom Enough!
With your co-hosts, developmental psychologist Dr. Marty Erickson and Aaron Erickson, maternal child health specialist. Brought to you through a partnership with the Minnesota Department of Education and Working Family Resource Center. Content copyrighted by Marty and Aaron Erickson, all rights reserved.
Here's my grandma Marty. And here's Aaron, my mom and Nah.
Welcome to Mom Enough. I'm Marty Erickson here with my daughter Erin, and this is April, and that's a very important month in that it is Child Abuse Prevention Month. Certainly something that we all should be thinking about and asking the question about what we can do to help prevent any child from being harmed. We are very excited to have with us today a very special guest, James Murovich, who is a parent, a grandparent, and president and CEO of Prevent Child Abuse America. I had the good fortune of serving on the board of that organization for a number of years, and Jim, you were on the board at that time, and now you've gone on to be president and CEO and have just done a terrific job in that role. So I really appreciate that you're with us today.
Oh, thank you, Ben. I'm absolutely glad to be here.
Well, let me tell our listeners just a little bit more about you. Jim, if I may call you that, is a former deputy commissioner for the Indiana Department of Corrections and was the Indiana State Welfare Director, during which time Indiana was awarded 7 federal high-performance cash bonuses for successes in welfare reform and child welfare, and received national recognition as a leader in the State Children's Health Insurance Program and also for the Healthy Families Program, a voluntary home visitation program with which I'm very familiar and have had a long-term affiliation with. Jim also is the recipient of the Sagamore of the Wabash, which is the highest award that can be given to an Indiana citizen for leadership and accomplishment. So that's a pretty impressive array of credentials, Jim, and I'm just so excited to see you bringing your wonderful leadership skills to Prevent Child Abuse America, which is such an important organization in our country.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, so Jim, if 90% of the population believes that child maltreatment is a bad thing, why do you think more people fail to take action on behalf of children?
Boy, Aaron, I'll tell you, that's the question that has plagued me ever since I've gotten here. And basically, I think our research indicates that there's a phenomena called the family bubble. I tend to call it the mall syndrome. And what I mean by that is we've all been in a situation where we see moms or dads or at least an adult do something with a child that we say, ooh, that just didn't seem right. You know, and none of us, or very few of us, walk up to the parent to try to do something to break the moment. And I think for the most part, that family bubble is what prevents people from really getting involved in children's lives. And I think what's absolutely necessary is a change in culture, change in the way of thinking about children in our country. We all need to be good stewards of children's lives. We shouldn't be only concerned about are we going to insult or offend a parent. We need to look at that incident as an opportunity to break the moment, show some support for the parent, and and hopefully turn the situation around. And I believe until we break that thing called the family bubble, we're never going to be able to enjoy the type of healthy child development that we all want for children in our country. And that's important because, as we all know, maltreatment is a common denominator in many subsequent social ills that children face.
Well, we certainly have a wealth of research documenting that when you look at both the long-term psychological effects and even a much higher risk for physical ailments, as well as the ultimate cost to society if children are being abused and then requiring all sorts of services later on to deal with that wide range of problems. This is something that, you know, we all have a stake in on many levels and for many different reasons. I wonder, Jim, if we could just go back to that that little example you use of the family bubble, and when we see that parent doing something that, you know, really kind of makes our hair stand on end. Can you just give a concrete example of what you might say if you were encountering a parent in that situation?
Sure. Great question. And let me tell you what I do say at those times, because it's It's obviously a situation where there's a potential for families to feel very intruded upon. And what I try to do is break the moment. And what I mean by that is simply say, you know, when my child was 2, same thing happened, but now she's 34 and everything turned out okay. Anything just to break the moment, to stop the frustration of the child's behavior or the stress that the parent is feeling. Letting them know that, hey, somebody did see this, but at the same time not judging that parent and finger pointing at them, so that, you know, when you leave the situation, the child's in worse condition than, you know, before you ever intervened.
Now, that's a great example, I think, and really identifying with the parent and what they must be feeling at that moment. That's a very supportive kind of response.
So what do you think has to change to really motivate more parents or people in the community to take that sort of action?
Or to take any sort of
action. Or to take any sort of action, really.
Well, you know, I think you kind of already intimated it, believe it or not. There is a plethora of information and research about what we know about child maltreatment. A good friend of ours, Howard Dubowitz, a researcher from the University of Maryland, often says there's a big gap between what we know and what we're doing. And so I think what we have to start with in order to motivate people is to start with awareness. And shows like this, public service announcements, publications, they're all part of that awareness. And I think what we ought to do is include in that awareness the research that you also touched upon. Children who are abused or neglected often have more chronic health problems. They have difficulties academically. They sometimes have mental health, substance abuse problems. There's been ties to juvenile delinquency and to criminogenic behavior. I think we need to show how important it is to ensure a child's environment and experiences are healthy so that we can foreclose some of those social ills down the road. And that once we make that awareness available, I think we need to make sure that we all believe that prevention is possible. And I personally, as well as many researchers, agree that there's a lot of information out there that can give us the hope that prevention is in fact possible. And then I think we also need to give that challenge, that, you know, call to action, that we all have a role to play when it comes to making sure children have healthy and nurturing, loving experiences in their childhood. I think that we need to recognize that we all have a role, big, small, and in between, and that when we do those small, kind gestures, those small, nurturing gestures, when we take time for children, that we should recognize that these actions together actually make for a stronger community. And when we do that, we can come up with a shared vision, and we can improve our UNICEF scores. And what I mean by that is, over the last several years, UNICEF has issued reports that showed of the 21 wealthiest nations in the world, the United States was 20th when it came to well-being. And just recently, we showed at the bottom of the pile almost when it came to the number of children in poverty. That has got to stop, and it takes all of us to make sure that that does stop.
Oh, absolutely. And you think about the stressors associated with poverty and how that increases the risk of abuse. And I think so many times we as a society in our public dialogue, we kind of get hung up on focusing on stranger danger and, you know, the sensational and horrific stories of, you know, kidnappings and child sexual assault and so on. And those are, you know, certainly things that we have to pay attention to. But I think we often overlook the fact that the vast majority of abuse and neglect happens within the family or among a circle of adults known to the family, and that we really have to look at those deeper kind of day-to-day issues about supporting the adults who are caring for children and directly having a positive influence on those children as well through our own actions.
I absolutely agree with everything you just said.
So what would be some examples, Jim, of things that just regular citizens, you know, most of the people who are listening to our show are parents, but there are others who are just really concerned about kids and families, as we all should be. What can we regular citizens do to improve the well-being of children? It's a shocking thing that you've said about where we rank among the wealthiest countries in the world. And I think we really do need to take action on that. What would be a few of the things you would want to see happen?
Well, as many public health professionals do, I try to break things down into what's called a socio-ecological approach. And I think we can do things on four levels. On a personal level, I think we need to make commitments to children. Children that we know, our own children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, our next-door neighbors, the children who our children play with, make a commitment that when that child's with us, we're going to do everything in our power to make sure that the experiences, that the environment around them is safe, that it is nurtured, and that they see that there's a kind, loving adult around us. We need to take the time to bond with our children. Bonding with children, as you know probably better than I, is so important in increasing empathy, which decreases things like attitudes in domestic that perpetrate domestic violence or bullying. I think on a relationship basis, I think that we all have a responsibility to know that stress and frustration with a child's behavior can often lead or sometimes lead to child maltreatment. And what we have to do is make a commitment that when we see that happening with our family, our friends, our next-door neighbors, the people we bowl with or, you know, go to work with, that we reach out and say, hey, how about you go out for a night and I'll watch the kids for a couple hours. Yeah. As a member of our community, you know, how can we volunteer, whether through our faith congregation, through a ministry, being a scout leader, a soccer dad, a soccer mom, or a mentor at a big brother's big sister? How do we show that children are important to us, even when we didn't know those children until we met them? And lastly, on a societal level, I think we need to educate and inform our policymakers about the things that we're already talking about in this show, that it does make a difference, that research exists that shows prevention is possible, that children don't have to be harmed. And it just absolutely frustrated me that during all the debates for the presidential election, not taking any side here on any candidate, there was really no discussion of children or families in the presidential debates. We talked about two of the three-legged stools that are important to our country. National security, absolutely important. Economic stability, again important. Where was the discussion about children and families, the people who could benefit from the other two legs of that stool? It was missing.
Amen.
Well, so, you know, as you're talking about this, I'm just thinking about the ways that even people in my community have made it easier for me as a parent. And you know, you talked about the little things like, you know, helping out. And I have some really great neighbors who, you know, asked my kids over, and they don't have children of their own, and they did an art project with my kids. And I mean, it was they were maybe over there for an hour or two, and it was wonderful for my kids to connect with the neighbors. But just having that hour-long break can make such a big difference for a parent and can really help to mitigate that stress. And I think, you know, the stress that parents feel and being pulled in so many different directions and so many activities, it can lead to parenting in ways that you wouldn't necessarily want to. I mean, I know when I have my worst moments as a parent, you know, when I raise my voice or I'm not the parent I want to be, it's at those times when I do feel overwhelmed. And so I think it is so important that, you know, it doesn't have to be a big commitment of, you know, like weeks and weeks of, you know, volunteering. It could just be, you know, helping out a neighbor by having their kids over to cook dinner or something like that. And so I do really appreciate that you brought that up, because I think it's really important. And I also would like you to talk a bit about how stories like the Penn State case or the Sandy Hook shootings provide an opportunity to discuss healthy child development and rally more citizens to the cause. I mean, I do think, you know, those are very alarming stories and everybody's talking about them, but how can we use those to bring more attention to the important cause of child development and raising healthy kids?
Well, you've definitely hit upon two horrendous tragedies that, in my opinion, were absolute wake-up calls to our country. You know, one in which there was a culture of silence about not protecting children, even when there seems to have been evidence that people could have. And the second one about the gun violence that occurred at Sandy Hook. These should be wake-up calls for us. We have got to work together to break this culture, what I call the culture of silence, that every child is our child in that regard. when we see something wrong, when we see something inappropriate, when we see, you know, a child not being treated the way a child should be treated, I think it's important for us to think of a manner in which we can intervene in the best way possible to ensure that that moment can be broken and that healthy child development can take over. I think these two incidences really give us an opportunity to learn from the past. And what we have to learn is that it takes the entire community to ensure the healthy development of children. And when we don't have children who grow up in healthy ways, emotionally, socially, and in all the other developmental ways, we sometimes get those tragedies that were emanated in the media that you just mentioned. I think those situations give us an opportunity to revitalize a commitment to improve the future of our children. And again, emphasize it takes every one of us in order to do this. And a very quick story, I was listening to a pediatrician who was on a panel with me in Illinois, and he stated that he'd been on the child death panel review team for the state of Illinois for 14 years. Somebody asked him, was there a common theme in all of that? His statement was so simple and so astounding. He said, in my 14 years, over 14,000 child death reviews that I was participating in, I saw that there was the presence of an adult who could have intervened and possibly stopped this horrendous tragedy from occurring. I think that was the most powerful statement I've heard in years.
Wow. Well, that's a stark statement and certainly a challenge to us to change that, to turn that around. For every child, we have a chance to influence. I wonder, Jim, if you could wrap us up with a very positive vision. This is National Child Abuse Prevention Month again, and if you were given the chance to lay out a national vision for children and families, this is a huge question, what would that be in a nutshell?
Well, first of all, I would ask our policymakers and all of us, all the citizens of the United States, to say, what should our country do so that every child, regardless of where they live, regardless of demographics, have an equal opportunity for healthy development and a good bridge for transition into adulthood. And what I think that means is that we need a national plan. We have plans for everything. All of our professions, regardless of who and what we are and what we do, have plans on how we get from one place to an outcome. I think the United States of America needs a national strategy on how to ensure that equal opportunity for healthy development. My vision for children is very simple. When you ask me about what do you think that is, it's a playground full of children playing, having a good time, enjoying their childhood, not having to worry about the horrendous things around them sometimes that their families, their friends can protect them from. And again, I believe that we rest on a three-legged stool in this country and that we have got to inform our policymakers that national strategy, that national plan is important, because national security and a stable economy doesn't matter if we don't have people who can enjoy the benefits of that. That's what I would look at, Marty.
Well, that's a powerful vision for us to work toward. I really appreciate your words of wisdom, Jim. Again, this is Jim Murovich, who is President and CEO of Prevent Child Abuse America, working all across the country to support families and promote healthy child development and make sure that no child is harmed. Thank you so much for giving us your time and your wisdom, Jim. We wish you all the best. And we link to your website so people listening can find all sorts of specific information there to support them in their commitment to make a difference in the life of a child or children in their community. Thanks for being with us on Mom Enough, and we hope that you will tune in again next week. I'm Marty, here with my daughter, Erin.
If you have concerns about your child's growth and development, please talk to your child's healthcare provider or call 1-866-693-GROW. That's 1-866-693-4769 to talk to a professional and find out ways in which you can get connected to various resources in Minnesota.
Do you think I'll have a show called Kid Enough someday?